Good morning, everyone. I have a special treat. We get to watch a movie today. I know the teachers always love to play movies, and sometimes the preachers do too. Well, this is the popcorn committee. I'll have you get that ready for the next time I'm preaching. This morning, I want to spend a few minutes talking about wisdom and things that are controversial. We are, as you know, a pro-life church, and we're going to begin the 40 Days for Life. It begins on Wednesday. Today, this afternoon, Father Look will have an opportunity to give the opening prayer for this week and for this time that we will be standing in front of abortion clinics and proclaiming that all life is sacred. What we're going to talk about today is how we've gotten here. And I want to play for you a video that was on Facebook. Many of you may have seen it. It's very direct. It's from one of our congressmen, not ours, but from a fellow servant in Arizona. And I thought it would be very important to play this and kind of launch and kind of set the table for what we're going to talk about. But I want you to remember this. Ephesians 6:12 says this: "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." My wife said you need to take some napkins or some tissues up there. I get this allergy when I come up here, and it seems like my eyes start watering. "But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's what we're wrestling against. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when you see this video and I give you the results of it, it's a war. The battle's on. We're not doing too good. We're falling behind, but today's going to be a call to arms. And I get to deliver that message. It's really not easy, but I'm going to say what I think where our problems lie, okay? All right, so if you'll play the video, it's about 5 minutes, and we'll just watch it, and okay, take a deep breath. Whew. Man, you can't say it any more clearly than that. I mean, it's horrendous. I must report to you that the senators or congressmen did vote, and they, unfortunately, the Democrats didn't yield, and the vote failed, and Planned Parenthood will continue to be funded. You know, they're talking about shutting the government down, but this is a real tragedy. This is not a tragedy; it's an atrocity, and it can't be uttered any more clearly than it was today by this brave congressman. So, what's happened? How did we get here? What in the world is going on? How in the world could this happen? How in the world could this happen in the United States of America? Our entire Western civilization was built on Christian principles, but all around us we see nothing but moral decline. In our lifetimes, the social fabric of American society appears to be unraveling. It is unraveling. We Christians are not immune to the process of social and moral destruction. We have superficially turned the other way and looked the other way. And we're being undermined constantly by insidious philosophical, social, cultural, and political forces. So many of us are now starting to wake up and begin the process of resistance. The conflict that we face is humanism versus Christianity. It's going to be a war and continues to be a war that's fought on a battlefront of our minds and of our souls. We're going to have to decide as a nation whether a third of the unborn children will continue to be murdered in their mother's wombs, a fourth of all children are born to mothers out of wedlock, And whether or not this continual moral decay of pornography and indecency will continue to prevail and control the education of our children. Because this is where the battlefront is. Humanism, just to remind you, is aligned with, I'm reading some of this because, just so you get exactly what it is. It's aligned with secularism. You hear about humanist secularists, okay? Now, there's only one way, in my mind, that you could possibly vote to not defund Planned Parenthood, and that would be if you're a humanist secularist. And let me tell you what that is. Secularism is defined as the principle of separation of government institutions and persons mandated to represent the state from religious institutions and religious dignitaries. One manifestation of secularism is asserting the right to be free from religious rule and teachings, or in a state declared to be neutral on matters of belief, from the imposition by government of religion or religious practices upon its people. So now we hear about this all the time on television. The ACLU constantly battles for this secularist thought. Humanists usually do not believe that God even exists. Humans are the highest principle, are the highest beings. The story is of Jesus Christ, if he existed at all, was a mere man. He may have been an interesting teacher, but when he died, he stayed in the grave like any other man. Now, we all know that. That's not anything new. We know that that's what humanists believe. But this is an insidious philosophy that's garnered not just the attention, but is rooting its way into every fabric of our society, every piece of fabric of our society. Humanists talk and act as if evolution is a scientific fact. It is not. It is a theory. It has been since its inception in the 1800s. And anyone who disagrees is ignorant. Evolution can be the only way to explain the existence of life. Since man is merely a highly evolved animal, some human life is not so special. They support abortion, euthanasia, and infanticide in some cases. Contrast that with, since man is created in the image of God and the purposes of God, all life is precious. It's two distinct thoughts. That's what we're wrestling against. This is the principalities that we're wrestling against. And quite honestly, I think if we consider this outside of our four walls, we can say that we're not doing too good in this battlefront. I mean, 100, I think it was 146, the congressmen of the United States voted in favor of infanticide, in favor of harvesting body parts. It's not easy to even think about this. It's going on here in Jacksonville, in your city. And we've looked the other way. The message is clear. Those people who accept God, His Son, His Word, His salvation are out of touch with reality. You're out of touch. You're irrational, unreasonable. There's no misunderstanding. Humanism and what it teaches or what it hopes to accomplish is at the forefront of every part of our society today. It is insipidous. It's everywhere. It's in the environment. It's in education. It's in the women's movement. It's everywhere. It's apparently in the Democratic Party. And listen, you might be a good Democrat, and there's a lot of reasons to love Democrats. There's a lot of good Democrats, but they are being completely. If they're not deceived, then they're they're being fooled completely because they voted. They voted to allow this to continue. Humanists believe that human life originates by evolutionary chance and that people are only physical beings. So there is no inherent value or sacredness to human life. Christians believe that humanity is both physical and spiritual, made in the image of God, that every being from the moment of their conception has an inherent God-given value or sacredness. Humanists believe that human life is no value unless it's desired or productive. These are tenets of humanism. These actually came out of the manifesto. There's just not enough time to talk about everything, so I'm trying to distill it down for you. Human life is not desired. If it's not desired or productive, it may be destroyed. Humanists believe that if the will of humankind is thought to be better served by abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, suicide, then we should encourage that. Places like Washington, Oregon, California, maybe there are places all over the country now that allow euthanasia. It's not good enough to have hospice who is there for you at the end of life and who helps us make transitions. It's not the end, it's a transition. Our lives aren't going to end, you know that. We'll experience a transition out of this body into our heavenly spiritual realm. But how's this happening? Western civilization has entered a period, a breakdown which we may never recover. The United States is undergoing a tremendous revolutionary civil war. And it's happening at a time when Christians are just now starting to wake up. Some of you remember not that long ago we can remember a time where things were simpler and where society wasn't as crazy. there's four things why we're losing to humanists. First of all, many Christians are generally and have been unaware that humanist values are being imposed on society and therefore haven't resisted them. Now that such an awareness is coming, many Christians either mistakenly think they can do nothing to combat humanism or do not want to put forth an effort. Now this is really a call to arms, folks. This is not, you know what I mean? We're not asking you to sit there. Well, this is a call to arms. This is what's going on. If we won't say anything, who will? Who will? We're going to lose our country completely. It's going to be gone. The humanists will tell us everything. Secondly, many Christians, being generally unaware of humanism, have primarily talked their beliefs and have generally withdrawn from governing of society whereby values are continually implemented through law. Listen, it is an absolute lie to say that government doesn't write social rules. It's a lie. There's abortion. There are people killing innocent human beings. That is a law. That is an immoral, hate-filled law. Hate-filled. And people stand up and say, you're a hater. You know why you're a hater? Because you're a Christian. Because you're ignorant. Because you don't believe in science, or of course we believe in science. You don't believe in evolution. You don't believe that we're the end all, that this is it. I was laying out last night looking up at the stars, and I remembered that the heavens declare the glory of God. Just go outside tonight, even in all this brightness. I love going to Ocala, down to my wife's cousin's lake house, and it's in the middle of the forest, and looking up into the heavens, laying on the dock, and looking up, and the immenseness, the depth, the stars, there's thousands and thousands of them. And yet, people would seem to think that this is just an accident. I know it seems funny. It does seem a little funny that this is all just a big accident and we just happen to land here. And the only problem is, well, there's some big problems, and that is like creatures create like creatures. If we evolved from monkeys in any way, in any fashion, we could mate with them, but we can't. No matter how hard they try, no matter how many laboratory experiments, they can't implant a fertilized monkey egg of any kind into a woman or vice versa and make it grow. The reason it won't is because we're not the same. There's a reason that we're different. Third, many Christians have generally been unaware that humanists have made up compulsory public schools to teach humanistic values and thus bypass Christian parental values. You see this all the time. I was talking to my wife about her classroom. And, you know, most of us are older. So when we were kids, I get this. I'm still just kind of blown away by this. When we were kids, if you were beating up somebody in your classroom, you were beating them, you would be thrown out of the classroom and sent to the principal's office, right? Amen. Oh, not today. No, not today. No, no, no. That child gets to stay in his classroom, and the other child that's getting beat up has to leave his classroom, go to another classroom. Now, that is a humanistic value. I got to tell you. There's no way. I know, I'm just baffled, befuddled by it. How could you leave the perpetrator in a class and say, it's okay, little Johnny or little Mary Sue, you're beating up this other kid. You don't need to go to the principal's office. You stay right here and you work on your self-esteem. Begin your self-actualizing skills. Because you're who's important. Fourth, many Christians accommodate themselves to humanistic beliefs, such as theistic evolution, errancy of Scripture, belief that man is basically good, relying on human alliances, and thinking moral values may be relative. Now, I assure you that in every high school in our county and across this country, the last statement is absolutely positive. There are no absolutes, none. Everything is relative. Everything. And then you move to the college level, and then not just everything, but everything is relative. So what do we do? What do we do about this? Well, we're going to have some opportunities, and many of you have signed up to go to Washington to march. But in the next 40 days, there's going to be a number of opportunities for us to get outside the four walls and stand in the face of humanism and say, no more. We're not going to take it. Just like that old Who song, we're not going to take it anymore. This is wrong. This is who we're becoming. There's so much deception, so much illusion out there that we're buying into the culture that there are some moral relatives. Listen, if if we don't believe this wholeheartedly, then we will fail. We have to believe that this is God's word. His word is his word. Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man." 2:7 Genesis says, "God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Jeremiah says in 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Before you were born, I set you apart. Listen, God has a plan and a purpose for every human being, every single one. He's made you in his image, just exactly the way he wanted you. But our problem is we keep looking at television, and we keep looking at this, and we keep looking at the magazines, and we distort the image of how God made us uniquely and individually. We should praise him for what he gives us. Be thankful, be grateful, have grateful hearts, because he's made you just the way you are, just the way he wants you to be. You're perfectly made in his image. For a purpose, for a special purpose. Birth is not the miracle. Birth is not that big of a miracle. Conception is the miracle. That's why life starts at conception. Conception is the miracle. It's almost when people dissect it and they look at it, they say, this is impossible. You know, we're not going to go into the biology part of it. I thought about that, but I'll just skip that. It's been shocking enough today, right? That you just can't get that video out of your head. You just can't get it. I can't get it out of my head, out of my heart. Before God says, "Before I formed you, I formed you in the womb." Before he did that, he knew the plans and purposes he had for you. We just have to align ourselves with those plans and purposes. But in our day and age, we have a call to action. There was a time where we could sit and relax and enjoy what God had done in our land. There were so many people that worked so hard to bring us to this point. And yet, in our society now, most of us would say our children will never inherit and have as much freedom and latitude and accomplishment that we've had. That's a sad thing. And yet our politicians tell us, well, that's just the way it's going to be. No, this is great. There are a lot of people who are brilliant who could keep moving us forward. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." They're fools. We're on a ship of fools. And right now, unfortunately, that's the Democratic Party. Amen. It's a ship of fools. Because they say there is no God. They say your God. And your God. And your God. And your God. Everybody's God. And when you're not productive anymore, give yourself a shot and move on down the road. We'll throw your dead carcass, doesn't matter where we throw it, put it in the dump, it's not a big deal. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He that trusts in himself is a fool." Now, you can believe that Jesus, you might have missed this, and I probably should have made a comment on it, about most humanists don't believe that, well, they certainly don't believe that Jesus was God. Absolutely not. There are plenty of books out there today, well, not plenty, but there are a few pretty good books that are written to even question the idea that Jesus even existed. You may have seen it on some talk shows. that there's some question about whether or not he could have even existed. Honestly, I've read two of those books, and man, you know, the stretching that they make to even come up with that, even that thought, that conclusion is weak. But we know that Jesus came, that he's God's son, that he came incarnate, okay? What I was going to say is, so our politicians can say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he lived. Most of them could tell you that of the Nicene Creed, they could agree with one part, that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. That's it. That he died and was buried. That's the whole line that a humanist could say, okay, I could concede that he did live, but he was killed under Pontius Pilate. Because quite honestly, to go that next step requires a little faith. Does require faith. It does require believing that those who saw him recorded it accurately and that they remembered it that way. And because there are enough, there are so many, you have to think, and because they all paid with their lives for even believing that, for saying that, it must be a little bit more than just a story, a fable, right? But not with humanists. That's it. That's the end of the story. They're fools. They're fools. That's who they are. There's no wisdom. They have the wisdom of man and not of God. Now, this should make you feel good a little bit, because God is in you, and greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. And we need to take hope, and there's hope in this, that God can work in us and through us to call this out and say it's time to end infanticide. It's time to stop this. 2 Timothy 3 says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with these people. That's what Timothy says. That's what Paul tells Timothy. Don't have anything to do with these humanists. They're fools. This is who they are. They're unforgiving. They're slanderous. Why would they forgive you? Why? Yeah, we know Jesus. But they don't know Jesus. They just know of him. They know of the Master. Well, God is known to us. He's revealed his Son to us, Jesus Christ. He's broken our chains. He's forgiven our sins. He's separated our sins as far as the east is from the west. Glory to God. Thanks be to God. He's equipped us with everything good for doing his will. Now we just have to walk in it. So in this next 40 days, coming up in just a couple of weeks, or starting today, starting Wednesday, it actually kicks off, let's get out on the forefront. Let's be encouraged. Let's step out one time. I guarantee if you do it, you'll do it again. Because it's about the love of this country. It's about the love of innocence. God loves us, and he's forgiven us. He's not mad at us. But it's time for us now to take a stand and to step out for life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.